You have your Bible, it's the book of Acts, 4th chapter, we'll start verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that are therein is. By the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Amen. And I use the topic on today, how the church responds to the Supreme Court. How the church responds to the Supreme Court. And the reason that I felt that it was impressed upon my heart to speak about this is because two things that have happened within the last week. One, there was a young man that came to the church when we did a trip to one of the theme parks. And as the custom is that whenever we gather the young people together, we have our ministers, our young ministers, to minister to them, to share with them the things of God, because we don't want anyone being a part of church not knowing what church truly is. And so the young man, he came out and he was a part and he heard. And the time we're driving up and driving back, we continue to share with the young men. But the same young man I heard on this last week, that he was killed, 19 years old, and he was killed across from a church in broad daylight. And the thing that was impressed upon me is that, what if no one had shared the gospel with him? What if no one had told him about who Christ is and what he can do? And there are plenty of young men, young women, there are plenty of people that are dying daily who have never heard the gospel or who don't know how to apply the gospel in their daily lives. I know that on this past week we went to a church and we had Edward and Anaya. They were talking to this young lady who had come forth in the church. And afterwards, Edward, he was responding, telling the young lady how proud he was of her for coming to the altar and being a different person. She responded, what do you mean different person? What are you talking about? He said, well, on Instagram, you put out on Instagram how you love gays and homosexuals and how that you were all right with them. And he said that now that you come to the altar, he was saying some words, you should know differently. It shouldn't be your same thing. She said, well, I think that they're fine. I think they're gay Christians. They're homosexual Christians. I don't see anything wrong with that. And Anaya, she jumped up and said, God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. So, but to hear, there are people that are in church that are not getting the truth. People in the church who are not being told the truth. They don't know how the word of God relates to a person on a daily basis. Amen. And because they don't know how, they don't know how to apply the word of God on a daily basis. Because the pastor of the church I know, and the church people I know, and I know that they do not teach that homosexuality is all right. I know they do not preach that homosexuality is all right. Then where did this young lady get the idea, the impression that it was okay? Well, from friends. Well, from TV. Well, from movies. Well, from music. From so-called celebrities. Mm-hmm. didn't get it from the Word of God. And so when I begin to realize, understand then that if these people who are dying young, if these people who are being influenced by other sources, then we've got to be willing to go in and show them how the Word of God fits in our daily lives. That it's not the Bible is separate from your worldly life. Some folks think, well, I go to church on Sunday, but that's it. I put my time in now. Once I leave the church, later for that, I don't want any more to do with church. But no, church should be a part of your daily life every day. There shouldn't be a time when you say that there is not something from the Word of God that's not applicable to what I'm going through. But what I realize, that a lot of people don't realize that the Bible should be a part of your everyday life. They don't know how to place it in their everyday life. And so this is why we're speaking the message today. Well, to know every young person to know, every person to know that no matter what you're going through in life, that God has an answer in His Word for it. And that if you're not consulting or considering God's Word with your daily life, then more than likely you are out of the will of God. You're not doing what God wants you to do. Somebody should have said, amen. 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 Now, on this last past week, praise the Lord, the Supreme Court came out with some decisions. And some decisions I think that we, as the body of Christ, need to know how to respond. Because one of the reasons why oftentimes the church has been pushed to the side, because we don't know how to respond based on what God's Word says. We'll say what a Supreme Court judge says. We'll say what a best friend says. We'll say what somebody else says. But when it comes to what does the Word of God say, how does the Word of God respond to these things? And we need to know if we truly want to make an impact in the world. I think it's very sad you see folks come to church and raise their hands, praise the Lord, and cry, and go out from church and live like a devil. And because they don't know how to apply the Word of God. Some folks think that all church is for the jump and the shout. They don't know that the Word of God is supposed to bring about a change in your life. That's why Christ Jesus came. The Bible said He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that you could be free from those sins that you were born into. That's why Christ came, to change your life. But if you think it all about is the jump and the shout and the choir singing good and the preacher getting his praise on, if you think that's all it is about, then you've missed what the Word of God is saying. And what has happened sometimes, we as leaders of the church, we've not done a good job of showing people how to apply the Word of God to their daily lives. Amen. So we're going to just take a stab at it today to see how we can address what the Supreme Court says. And the reason why, because in the United States of America, what the Supreme Court says impacts everyone in this country. Everyone is impacted by it one way or the other. Another reason I want to speak about it today too is that because when I was overseas, one of the things that they overseas think, they think that anything that comes from the United States of America is Christian. They think everything that comes out of the United States of America is Christian. I know I've told this before. One guy was talking about, you know what? The Christians over in India, this guy was talking to, he said, you know, the Christians that I know over here, they're the biggest drunks. He said, they drink. And because they say, what does they say Britney Spears doing? She said she, at the time, she was claiming to be a Christian. So they say, that's what she does, and that's what Christians do. And so I need to address that so they'll know that, well, this is not what Christians do. Because the reason why I say that, we've been heard in three countries. India, we got response from India, from our Philippines, and Canada. So besides the United States of America. Here in the United States of America, we're in over 20 states being heard by broadcast. So we need to make sure that when people hear, they know that there is somebody who's speaking and telling the truth. That somebody, the church is responding. Oftentimes the church has gone silent because someone has intimidated the church and made them keep quiet. But we are not going to keep quiet. Amen, amen. As it said here in the book of Acts, we're going to boldly declare what the word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this is what we're going to talk about on today. Amen. And so we got them in states, we got them in nations that are listening to us and viewing our broadcast by internet and other means. And so what we want to do, make sure that what's going out is a true word. And they know that what the Supreme Court said and did does not represent all believers in this United States of America.
Amen.
Amen. One of the first things that happened, on one of the things that the decision they made was the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. Now the Voting Rights Act said that, you know what? Because we as a nation have progressed so much and so far, is that now no longer do we need to have these certain states under sanction. Before, they put certain states under sanction that if they wanted to redraw the district lines for voting, if they wanted to do any kind, make any kind of changes, they had to get the approval of the federal government. Because they say a lot of these people in the past, they intentionally discriminated against African Americans or against blacks. And so they want to make sure that those things didn't continue going on in the future. So part of the Voting Rights Act, they had that if you're going to make changes to your voting laws, we have to have the approval from the Washington, D.C. or from the federal government first. And so, but what the Supreme Court did, they struck part of it down. And they were saying that that's no longer the case. Because in some places now that they're very punitive towards, or some places where they had these things going, they said, you know what? You now, in some of these places, you have more African Americans registered to vote than you do white people. Mm-hmm. So they said, those things should no longer apply. Now, how does the church respond to this? The church responds by saying this right here in Galatians 3:28, said there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, for you are one in Christ Jesus. The church says we should not make differences in the color of your skin. We should not make distinctions based on what your nationality is. We should not make those kind of differences. But what has happened, we have made those differences, and this is why we have a lot of this going back and forth as far as saying, well, what should and should not be allowed or acceptable? We, the body of Christ, should know that, hey, we are one. The same thing they said that with immigration, they're trying to get this immigration legislation passed. And they're saying, you know, that, okay, that they're going to legalize Hispanics in this country. Well, once again, what should the response be? There are some folks that are opposed to it, some that are up for it. Now, my thing is this right here. The Bible said God has no respect of person. So if you're going to do it for Hispanics, then also do it for the Haitians. Also do it for the Africans, other groups that want to come. You cannot separate and make distinction based on people, based on the way they look or where they live. Now, the Apostle Paul said it like this right here, then in Acts 17 chapter, where it said, it's in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. All of us, God has placed us here.
Right.
And God placed us here means that there is no difference in who we are if we're in Christ Jesus. And if we're not in Christ Jesus, God said we should not be making distinctions based on the color of our skin or where we were born or what our nation, our ancestors may have come from.
Amen.
Another thing that came forth was they struck down part of the Defense of Marriage Act. The Defense of Marriage Act was something that said that Bill Clinton signed into law when he was in office. And the reason they did it is because one state had legalized same-sex marriage. And they did not want all the other states in the nation to have to abide by, because they have a clause in our U.S. government constitution that says that if one state accepts it, all states have to accept it. For instance, like a dollar is good in Durham, just like it's good in Washington, D.C. or Columbia, South Carolina, wherever you may go. A dollar carries the same value no matter where you go. Same thing with certain laws in this country. There are certain laws that are transported from one state to the other. And so what they did, because they realized these laws are in place on our books, they said, what we're going to do then, Because we know that there are some states that are opposed to what they did, and the state was Massachusetts. There are some states that are opposed to it. And those states that are opposed to it, what we're going to do, we're going to set up called the Defense of Marriage Act. And the Defense of Marriage Act is going to be put in place to keep all these other states from having to accept homosexual, same sex, or as I call it, perverted marriages.
That's right. That's right.
So that's why it was put in place. And in order to allow these states to say, okay, we don't want to do it. Now, what happened when the Supreme Court, they only struck down part of Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act, not the whole thing. A lot of people tell you, well, they struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. No, they did not. They only struck down part of it. Here in North Carolina, last year, we voted on what we wanted marriage to be in this state. In this state, in North Carolina, we voted that marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, you know what? What the Supreme Court did last week did not change that. The states still have the right to say that marriage is between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. Them striking down Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act did not change that. What it did change is that now they can receive benefits like Social Security, things like that. They can receive those kind of benefits now. Whereby before, if you were in a same-sex or a perverted relationship, you couldn't receive anything from the federal government. So that was the part of it that changed. Now, they said, well, how did this thing change? What brought about the change? It's a thing called due process of law. And the due process of law is in the 5th and the 14th Amendment. Now, what due process of law says is that you cannot deny a person or people certain rights. And what they're saying that by preventing perverted people to marry one another, you are denying them certain rights. And so they say, well, this is why they said that part of the Defense of Marriage Act, Section 3, was not legal and why it was struck down. But understand this. About the laws that men make, how the laws that men make can change. In 1857, there was a black man by the name of Dred Scott. Dred Scott sued to be a free man. He was a slave. He sued to get his freedom. And he said when he sued to get his freedom, they wrote an opinion on it in 1857. And Chief Justice Roger Taney wrote this, that while some states had granted citizenship to blacks, the U.S. Constitution did not recognize citizenship of blacks. Taney wrote that blacks were regarded as being of inferior order and altogether unfit. This was the Supreme Court. So we can see that just because something comes from the Supreme Court does not mean that it's right. And a lot of folks say, they look at these decisions and say, well, you know what? Well, that's what the Supreme Court said, so it must be right. No, it does not mean that it's right. And this is why we need to show, well, what does the Word of God say? How does the Word of God intersect in people's lives? How does the Word of God intersect in what people go through on a daily basis? Because folks are telling you things that are not right. So if we believe that, then you know what? That meant that we would have followed the teaching or what the Supreme Court said. Then that means that black folks would still be enslaved. Black folks would still be considered inferior because this is what a Supreme Court justice wrote and said. Now, the reason why they say due process came about, they said because they said they found out that the majority's enactment is not law and cannot be enforced as such regardless of how far the process of enforcement actually is. Now, what do I mean by that? In California, Prop 8, which is another part of the decision they made. In Prop 8, folks in California, over 7 million people, over 50% of the vote, voted and said that marriage in California should be between a man and a woman. The judge out there in California decided, no, that violates due process of law. And what he said is that this right here, that I'm going to overturn it, even though the majority voted in it. Now, let me understand something. You either go out and vote, and you think you're electing your presidents. Mm-hmm. It's not you that elects your president. It's the Electoral College.
That's right. That's right.
If they got together and decided that they did not want the person you voted for, they could overturn your voting process. That's what happened with this due process of law in the 4th and 15th Amendment. That's what happened. And the reason why in the 15th Amendment, 14th Amendment, it came about, in the 13th Amendment, black people were free from slavery. The 13th Amendment said you're now free, no longer a slave. But there were still people that did not want to give them their rights. And they were voting to suppress their rights. So the 14th Amendment came about so that African Americans or black folks could have those kind of rights. So we see then how that the Supreme Court, they can make change. They can change things. They can make laws and change laws. And so you're up there saying, well, you know what? I'm going by that law. That's what the Supreme Court says. Then you're a person going to be constantly wondering, well, God, what is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? What does the word of God say? Luke 21:8 says this on the 8th verse. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. The word of God is saying there's going to come a time because of the stand you take for the word of God, you are going to be persecuted. Christ Jesus, our Lord, said it. So some of you think, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything. You ought to say something. When it comes to the time and speaking up for the things of God, Jesus said, yes, some of you are going to be put in prison. Yes, some of you are going to be persecuted. But don't take down. Stand on the word of God. No matter how popular it may appear to be, no matter how popular things may seem to be, stand on God's word.
Amen, amen.
Then you say, what part of God's word are you talking about? Because some folks say, you know, you're talking about homosexuality and how you say that is wrong and bad. But also in the Old Testament, they tend not to eat shellfish or scallops and things like that. They tend not to eat that and catfish and not eat. You're supposed to eat scavengers. And why do you eat that kind of food then if you believe what the Old Testament said? In the Old Testament, they said there are some folks that were in slavery and they condone slavery. First of all, slavery that was in the Bible was not slavery what we have now. Yes. Nowhere in the Word of God do you find anybody being in slavery based on the color of their skin. No. It's not anywhere in the Word of God. So they lie when they try to equate slavery, what African Americans went through in this country, to what the Bible calls slavery. Right. Amen? It's not the same. Because indentured servants or slaves at those times, when you were a slave, you got your education, you had rights, you had things they gave to you. It was not like what we have, what we went through as African Americans in this country as a part of slavery. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's know an understanding what when they try to put these things on you and try to say, well, what you can and you can't do and all these other things. Let us understand what the word of God said. And one thing about it in the Bible, that when there is some disagreement for what the word of God says, One thing that the disciples did and the apostles did, and most important, what Christ Jesus our Lord did, he affirmed what the word truly said. Because they didn't understand that when Jesus came, that he was the Son of God. So the apostles, the disciples, Christ Jesus our Lord, went around letting folks know, those scriptures, you don't understand what you're reading. Let me help you to understand who Jesus is, the Savior, the Son of God. Let me help you understand who he is. What it says in Isaiah 53, or Isaiah 7:14 say, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. His name should be called Emmanuel. Who was that virgin? Mary. Who was that child? Christ Jesus our Lord. They helped them to understand that passage where Christ Jesus' crucifixion, Isaiah 53, and says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He would let them know that Christ was going to die for the sins of the world. So they helped them to understand what it means. And a lot of folks don't understand what the scriptures read mean because they have not bothered to either read it all the way through, or they just got one little sentence that they hung on to. Rather than say, let me see what the whole word of God says. But that's what they did. Now, to help you understand what I mean by that, about especially with homosexuality and what it means, Christ Jesus himself affirmed it. In Matthew 5:17 says this right here. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What was the law? The law was the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Yes. Those five books are called the books of the law. Mm-hmm. It's in those books that we see in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 21, where we're going to see that's where it made the pronouncement against homosexuality. Leviticus 18 and 22 says this, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Leviticus 20 and 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Some folks say, well, but that's not the Jesus that we serve. The Jesus we serve is now, he's a God of love. And he would not do such a thing. He would not care to have such a thing done to people. God is love. And the Bible is correct in saying that God is love. We must understand the love of God. And why do I say that? If you look in the same passage, see, when the Bible was written, it wasn't broken down by verses and chapters. That only came out later on in time. But when the Bible was written, it was all written right there. The book was written together. It wasn't written, well, I'm right, chapter 1, then chapter 2. It was all written together. We went in and broke it up to try to make it easier for us to reference and to find places in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But then listen to what Jesus said, what Jesus quoted from the book of Leviticus, which is in between chapter 18 of Leviticus and chapter 20 of Leviticus, where it said that homosexuality is an abomination before God. Listen to what you said in the 19th verse of Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Right in the middle of saying that homosexuality is wrong, Leviticus states, love your neighbor as yourself. So when he said, well, wait a minute, God, how are you going to have God's love? And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 39. This is what a lot of folks like to quote. Matthew 22 and 39. And he was talking about, they say, well, what commandment is the greatest? And Jesus gave off two commandments. One, the love of God more than anything else. And he said in Matthew 22 and 39, he said, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus quoted from Leviticus. Uh-huh. And so we're going to say, well, you know what? Well, that's the Old Testament. I don't do that. Wait a minute. Jesus quoted from Old Testament. He just quoted from it. From that same passage where it said that homosexuality is an abomination. Amen. Christ Jesus specifically spoke against fornication, which homosexuality is included. When the Bible says fornication, we've made the word fornication mean premarital sex. You're not married, you're having sex, which is wrong. But when Christ Jesus was using the term fornication here, it speaks of any sex that's outside of marriage is considered fornication. Any sex outside of marriage. Now, the Bible says, well, you can address that, though. Mm-hmm. says better to marry than to burn. So if you got desires, you want somebody, put a ring on it. Darius must say amen. Put a ring on it. Get married. Now, and the sad thing about it, I was just in a meeting, and one of the things that was being said, they were talking about, what can we do to address some of the problems in the African American community? And I spoke and I said, one of the biggest problems in the African American community, while we're so poor and so impoverished, is that in one statistic said in some places, 85% of African American homes are headed by one parent. And they say that divorce and separation is one of the greatest tools to put children in poverty just about anything else. We don't know how to come together. And in the African American community, now I'm not trying to say it's not a problem in other communities, but it's far worse in our community. So we'd rather than marrying, we're out there burning. We're out there doing things, you know what I'm saying? If you love that woman enough to lay down with her in bed, you should love enough to put a ring on it. Amen. And this is why a lot of men are not getting married. Because they're getting the milk, so they don't want the cow.
That's right.
Amen? But when he said fornication, let's get back to what we were talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. When he was talking about fornication, he's on any kind of sin. Because you go back and read Leviticus 18:19. He's talking about things that defile a man. It lists homosexuality. It lists bestiality. It lists immorality. It lists whoremongering. All these things are listed. Yeah. And these things, he says, defile a man. So when Christ Jesus said in Mark 7:19-20, he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth a man. For from within, this is Christ Jesus our Lord talking in Matthew 7:19-20. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. These things, Christ Jesus said, they defile a man. So for those who try to say that homosexuality is all right, Christ didn't speak against it. They don't understand the Greek that's written here, what the word defile means. They've not written reference to the book of Leviticus, where the word defile is being interpreted. When Christ said these things defile, he said use the word fornication, he was speaking about homosexuality and any other type of sex sin. So what I'm trying to say, for those who try to use that thing on you, he didn't speak against it, they lie. He did speak against it.
Yes.
Right here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we got, because a lot of us, we're not armed. We can't go out there and speak knowledgeably about what the Word of God says about homosexuality because we've allowed celebrities, we've allowed movie stars, we've allowed others to form our opinion as far as what's right and what's wrong. And even you had some perverts that have been pulpits in churches saying that it was okay and all right. And there is not one place in the Bible that affirms that homosexuality is okay, even though it was being practiced during that time. Not one place in the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know what that is all about. But nowhere did it say, you know what, it's okay, it's all right. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say it's an acceptable lifestyle. But because we don't know what God's Word says or how God's Word should be placed in today's life, then we fall into these traps. Why? I thought it was very interesting. Why is it that we have folks tell me, well, I was born this way. And I heard folks say, well, I saw him from a little child on. And he had feminine tendencies. I saw her from a little child on and she act very boyish. And so he was born that way. She was born that way. Psalm 51:5 says this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin fell upon us all. And because that sin fell upon us all, then what that means then is that we all have been tainted by sin. Now, the verse that passage, a scripture I was reading to you earlier from Mark 7. If you go down to the 23rd verse, of Mark 7. It said, all these evil things come from within. It's what you were born with. You know what you don't have to do? You don't have to go home and tell your children to do bad. You have to go home and tell your children to misbehave. You have to go home and tell your children to do something wrong. It's born within a child to do wrong. It's your role as a parent to teach that child to do right. It's born within them. And God is saying we have evil born within us. That's why I said you must be born again, because that old nature is bad. So someone, even if they were to say, I was born that way, you must be born again. You got that sin nature. What you are doing when you say you were born that way, you're only vouching for what God's word says. You're only making clearer that we're all a sinner. Yours may be homosexuality, mine may be something else, but whatever it is, it's still a sin. It's a part of your nature, and the only way that old nature can be changed is that you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Without Jesus, your Savior, without Jesus, your Lord, you still, well, you know, this is, I like doing this, I just feel so good, and I'm so happy doing it this way. I don't care what you may like, I don't care what you may do. Jesus has declared that it's defiled the body. Jesus declared that it will send you to hell. Jesus declared it. We need to let him know what this says. Now let me tell you this right here. I realize this right here. Everybody comes to church is not saved.
That's right.
I realize this right here. Everybody comes to church not in the same path in life. But one thing I do know is this right here. I don't care who comes into church. It's the responsibility of the preacher and the pastor to preach and to teach the truth. Some folks don't like the truth. When they hear the truth, they go the other way. But I thank God when I can hear the truth, because I want my life to be changed. Praise the Lord. Other scriptures that says, speaks about homosexuality, this thing the Defense of Marriage Act is trying to make legal in the land, and folks saying that, you know what, we're going to have this stuff, all 50 states at some point in time going to be given into this stuff. Let's understand what the scriptures have to say so that we won't get caught up with the lies that are going on.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And this is why I have problems sometimes with these men with their hair all braided. I mean, you see men now, when men have braided look better than women have. When if I see something neatly braided and lined up and from behind, because a lot of times you can't tell because they're wearing clothes looking like now. But when I see it really neat, I say that must be a man. Because when women braid their hair, just have going straight back. But men, you see all these little designs and stuff like, you better believe, for the most part now, that's a man with his hair looking like that. And when the word effeminate is used in the Bible, you know what it's referring to? When you go back and look up the Greek etymology of the word, or how that word originated, it has to do with hair. I know one time I went to a concert, and they brought the gospel music being sung, and they brought these men out. They came out, one guy had his hair flipped like that, and he walked like his hair was flipped. I mean, that's what effeminate is. And so you find men doing their hair now and all this other crazy kind of stuff now, you better believe. Now, men, and so I need to shake Josiah on this. It's nothing wrong getting your head shaved. It's nothing wrong with having a close haircut.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. But I'm trying, the word effeminate, though, had to deal with men trying to make their hair look like women. I mean, I saw a guy one time trying to have a little ponytail, shaking his head like that. I mean, that's what the word effeminate means. No abuse of themselves with mankind. Some translation has homosexuality. It says right here. He said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not, they're called unrighteous, and it says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
All right, Romans 1:27. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one toward another. Let me say this right here. I'm almost to the point that I was saying the other day. that she wanted a television in the bedroom. I said, I don't want one in the bedroom. I said, because so much garbage on TV now. I said, I'm trying to get away from the TV. They had on one, I think it was NBC News, they had a marriage of two men on that show. They had two men kissing on TV. Now, for those who don't remember Brokeback Mountain, I heard that there were men that went to see that movie that were thrown up and gagged, right? The only reason they went because the girlfriends and the wives talked them into going. And they went in there throwing up in the theater because of that stuff, how gross it was. And what I'm saying, they're trying to push this stuff down your throat. Remember, 37 states have already voted and said that marriage is between a man and a woman. But do you think they care? They're going to push this out into the 37 states that have voted saying the marriage is between a man and a woman to get them to see that immoral lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Romans 1:27. And likewise, also the men leave the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is me. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You better be careful how you follow somebody and say they support homosexuality. Because you go down and read it in that same chapter, the Apostle Paul says that even those who agree with them, you may not be doing it, but if you're in agreement with it, Paul said you're in the same lot. Some of us say, well, I don't believe what Paul said. Well, you don't believe what Jesus Christ Jesus our Lord said, because I mentioned him first, how he spoke out against it. You don't believe what Christ Jesus said. But he said that lust towards one another, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which means you find these people, these folks don't know right from wrong, don't know up from down. Now, any little child can tell you, ask them, does it take a mama and a daddy to have a child? They can tell you it takes a mama and a daddy. You can go to the sperm bank, but remember, it is a sperm bank, which means a male. And that's all some men are anyway, no more sperm donors. They have babies, but ain't nowhere around. That's all some men are anyway. But that's all you going when you go, well, I don't know man, I don't know father. I'm just too, you ain't no such thing as two mommies or two daddies. Can't happen. Two mommies, two daddies. And we believe in that garbage because they're trying to tell us and talk about this man or having a baby because the woman had a beard on her face. We know plenty of women got beards on their face, got hair on their face. We know plenty. But that doesn't mean that they are a different sex. Because they were turned to a reprobate mind. And so you're following people who are reprobate. Reprobate means they're worthless. They're good for nothing. And that's who you are following. You better believe, as Christ Jesus our Lord said, if the blind be leaders of the blind, they both shall fall into a ditch. And that's what's happening. The blind leading the blind. I know that I was going to avoid this, but I say it anyway, since it's public knowledge. And so we got to know how to deal with everyday life. And these things happen. The president of our country went to the African nations. He was telling them that you need to be more accepting of homosexual and lesbian rights. Because in Africa, it's about the one place left here on the earth where they have not gone for homosexuality. Only in South Africa, all the other African nations have taken a stand against, no, we don't want that stuff here. We don't want that stuff here. No, sir. Even though they have on some books in Africa that if you get caught in that kind of act, you die. They believe in mortal punishment. They catch it. Well, he went there to the country and he said that you need to be more lenient and tolerant of homosexuals, and because look at what great strides we've made in the United States of America. And the president he was talking to this African country was trying to be nice and polite. He said, No, that's we're not ready for that here. That's not something here. See, but as far as morals, we don't have capital punishment here. Ooh. And you guys do. You killing folks. You trying to tell me you gonna play the moral card on me? You out there killing folks. Let's say someone's been executed who are innocent, and you kill them in the United States, and you coming to Africa trying to play the moral card? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Say, take it on down the road somewhere. But that's what I'm saying. You gotta be careful as to how you follow people who are not in keeping with the word of God. Now, this is the thing that really got me. This is what we should take courage with what the Supreme Court has done and with what's happening in some other nations. And Luke 17 and 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees that he be in Christ, he's our Lord. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Meaning, you're not going to be able to just pick it up, Christ's return, with your eyes. And he said to the disciples, the days will come, we shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the part under heaven, shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and build it. But the same day the Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Notice what place he included that's going to be an indicator before his return. He said it was in the days of Lot. What was it like in the days of Lot? When Lot was in Sodom. That's where the word Sodomites come from. Sodom. When Lot was in Sodom, the angels came into the city because Abraham had interceded to God not to destroy the city because God had saw the wickedness of Sodom. Yes. And Abraham interceded to get down to 10 people, and God told Abraham, you can find 10 righteous folks in the city. I will spare the city. The angel went into the city. That was lying. And when the wicked people of Sodom saw the angels come into the city, they wanted to have sex with the angels.
That's right.
This is the Bible. So I go, no, you don't say that. No, this is the Bible. This is what God says. And the Bible says that Lot responded, I have two daughters that I've never known a man. Have them instead. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a good dad. He wouldn't get Father of the Day year for that. But have them. Now, his two daughters were married. What was happening? Sodom and Gomorrah was full of homosexuals. The Bible says that Lot was vexed by the filthy conversations of the Sodomites, of who's lived in Sodom. Christ said that as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. Now think about it. Why is it now that homosexuality, all these nations are endorsing? Why is this happening? It's the fulfillment of Scripture. This is what Jesus said. They said, Lord, when shall thou return be? And Jesus said, don't look for signs. You know, well, we saw this and saw that. Then we knew you're coming back. He said, well, the kingdom of heaven is in you. In other words, what he's saying, for you that are children of God, for you that have accepted me as Lord and Savior, something in you, when you see this stuff happening, should tell you, Lord,
yes, sir, God.
It's near. It's coming.
Thank you, God.
Lord, it's near and it's coming. The world, they think, oh, we're just having a good old time. The world is saying, you know what? Things are going great. And Jesus said, these are signs of my return. But the only one who's going to see and know the difference are those who are born again. Those who have accepted Jesus. If you're not accepting him, you say, well, I don't see anything. What's the point? I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything any different. But we that are born again, we see the difference. Why can we believe the word of God? Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If he said it back then, it's the same now. The word of God does not change. Also, Malachi 3:6 says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. So we can bank on what he said. The Supreme Court, we can't bank on them. Remember what I said? At one time with the Dred Scott decision, they said, no, men, black men were inferior. So you can't bank on what men say and what they do. But we can bank on the word of God, because God does not change. Matthew 5:19 says this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Amen. Suppose you follow some of these teachers and you've done some of these things. This is one thing I like about the word of God. Yet about points us all out as sinners. For the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one in here today is standing here because of your righteousness, because you've always been righteous. You've always been holy. Nobody in here is like that. The only reason that any of us are saved is because of the saving grace of Christ Jesus our Lord. And he gives us a way out. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But this is how he ends it up. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God.
Thank
you. We've seen the Supreme Court, they change like the wind. But when we that believe in the Lord Jesus, or if you have not believed in him by coming to him, he changes your life.
Yes.
Such were some of you. Thank God for his power to heal.
Thank
God for his power to deliver.
Thank
God that we now know, as Proverbs 14:34 say, that righteousness exalted the nation.
Yes.
But sin is a reproach to any people.